Our first hymn of praise today is hymn 120, O Worship the King, All Glorious Above, O Gratefully Sing His Power and His Love, Our Shield and Defender, the Ancient of Days, Pavilioned in Splendor and Girded with Praise, number 120. Now I'm going to ask Mr. Hammond of Blowfield to lead us to the throne of grace.
Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, as once more we come to thy throne of grace in the only possible way, in the name of our beloved King and our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we come today, to thee, O Heavenly Father, we have much to thank thee for. We know that the wonderful things thou hast provided us for our praises and our thanksgivings are so small, and yet nevertheless, we do thank thee for this gathering here this afternoon. We know many have come from many parts of this country, and even from over the border in Scotland. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we can join together in praise and worship. We thank thee, too, above all, for our beloved Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who emptied himself and came upon this earth. And we know that he led a spotless life, even when tempted of the devil. A life that is an example to every one of us. And yet at the end of it, his own received him not. And he was taken to that lonely hill at Calvary, where he shed his precious blood that all should be redeemed. O Heavenly Father, we thank thee that it doesn't end there, but he who rose from the dead, and when he arose at that time, he had that wonderful Bible study with his apostles, and which has gone on down through the ages, and the words that come to us at this present moment. And so we know also that he arose and ascended far above all principalities and powers, and is now seated at thy right hand. And we too have that wonderful promise, a promise that we too shall be seated far above all principalities and powers with our Lord and Saviour. To our finite minds, it seems completely impossible that we, as sinners, we who have erred and strayed continually, can be promised such wonderful blessings. But they are there, and thy word is ever true. And so, Heavenly Father, as we gather here this afternoon, we give thanks for those who have carried through the many years of witness from this chapel. We thank thee for the Bible study that has been carried out here, the study of thy precious word in the Berean spirit, not taking traditions or man's word, but thy word, this precious word. And so we thank thee for those who have labored here over the years and sent out the printed page and also the tape recordings, this latest invention which has been such a blessing to lone Christians in far-flung places. And then, O Heavenly Father, we would pray this afternoon for all those who handle the work here, those who handle the text, those who handle the literature, and all that is done from this place of worship, this corner of the vineyard. And so we thank thee for it. Now, O Heavenly Father, we pray for our speaker this afternoon. We ask that thou wilt give us a blessing, as we know it must have done him to prepare his word. And so we ask that thou be with him this afternoon, and that the Lord Jesus Christ will speak through his lips. We would also remember the meeting tonight, and our beloved principal who will be speaking to us here. Again, we give thanks for his many, many long years of witness, when at one time he must have thought he was crying alone. But we do give thanks that that word has gone out to many a country, place, and town. And this word has strengthened those who have received it. And we wouldn't forget this afternoon those far across the sea, America, Australia, New Zealand, and many other places where this word has gone, this rightly divided word. And so, Heavenly Father, we pray for those who will worship there tomorrow, up and down the country, and in foreign lands. We pray for them. And so, Heavenly Father, we ask that thou would be with us throughout these meetings, not forgetting those who are attending our material meetings. We pray for them too. So these prayers we offer in the precious name of our beloved Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Now we're glad today to have two friends with us from as far as Northern Ireland, Mr. Hare and Mr. White. I'm going to ask our brother Mr. Hare to read the scripture portion to us, which is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 26. Hebrews 11, 1 to 26.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Do we know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his own precious word? Amen.
Well, we're very glad, friends, to see such a fine gathering here this afternoon. We give you a very warm welcome in the Lord's name. And of course there are some who are not able to be with us. We've had one or two letters and a telegram, I have a letter here from our brother, Mr. Harkness of Birmingham, and he says in his opening paragraph, "We shall be thinking of you on the morrow, DV, with gratitude to God for this sustained witness and for the outspreading of the roots that bringeth forth his fruit in due season." He sends a quite a nice long letter here. I won't read all of it, but it's good to feel that he's remembering us. And then there's also a letter here from Mr. Manley. Here's just a paragraph from it concerning the vicar of Heytesbury, Mr. Phillips, who is seeking to spread forth the truth of the mystery and is using our chapel hymns, he says, in his devotional brochures on Ephesians. Here's the Reverend Graham Phillips. He discovered right division through your witness. Mr. Manley tells us that in his letter. Then I have a telegram here from three friends in the West Kirby group. They are Mr. Kelly, Ronald Sharples, and Fred Windsor. You will remember that Fred Windsor ministered here 2 or 3 years ago. They say, our Christian greetings are with you in spirit. So it's nice to feel, isn't it, that other friends who are not able to be here are bearing us up at this time. Then Mr. Canning has asked me to mention this little publication here. It's the three signpost booklets issued in one little volume. You may remember that some years ago we made an attempt to try and put as simply as we could some of the great truths for which we stand. Mr. Foster wrote the first one called In the Beginning, and then I followed on with two more called That Good Land and the Heavenly Jerusalem and the Mystery. Well, now, instead of keeping them separate, our friend Mr. Canning has gone to the trouble of printing them all in one volume, and although the cost of each roughly comes out to half a crown per copy, we want to distribute these freely. So if you can use them profitably, will you ask our brother to let you have some? Well, now, all I want to say is, and I don't want to take up too much time, I was thinking back a day or two ago, several years, in which we were very concerned about this witness, and we were praying that the Lord, if it is his will, would bless and increase and prosper what we were seeking to do for him. And he's largely answered that prayer. I don't know whether we quite realized what we were asking for, or the responsibilities that would come if the Lord answered. But we know something about it now. And I'm going to ask you, as you remember our friends, Mr. Foster, Mr. Rumsey, Mr. Canning, they are stretched to the very limit. We could certainly do with more help, but of course, it must be the Lord's choice. And will you pray that the Lord will send along perhaps somebody who maybe some of our younger friends might, in the light of the sanctuary, just think this over very carefully. If they're beginning to see this truth, if it means anything to them, perhaps they just weigh over, as before the Lord, whether he's got some purpose for them in this witness. I'm reminded there was a time when Moses, even the great leader Moses, almost got to the end of his tether. In fact, he told the Lord that in so many words. And the Lord recognized it. He remembered there was the appointment of the 70 to help him. Well, I'm not expecting, of course, that 70 people are going to turn up to help us. We might be a little embarrassed if 70 came along. But anyway, the Lord does know our needs, and will you join with us then in bearing this most important part of the witness up? Now I'm going to ask you to join in singing the Lord's praise once again for number 22, and while this hymn is being sung, your offering for the support of the witness will be taken. Hymn number 22. Seated above all heavens, we see our glorious head, a bond of peace he's given, whereby the Spirit led. Number 22.
Yeah.
I've said on a number of occasions before how very favoured we are in our fellow labourers in this witness, our brothers Mr. Rumsey, Mr. Canning, Mr. Dredge, Mr. Foster, and it is usual, as you know, at this September meeting for our secretary, Mr. Foster, to give his account, his report of the year's work. We do thank God for him, I know, and you know that he gives his time and his strength without stint for this witness. And so I very gladly ask him now to give us his report. Mr. Foster.
Dear friends, our chairman, Mr. Allen, has already conveyed to you greetings from friends who have sent telegrams or written. I'd like to say that I've got some letters as well. So that I won't read them to you, but you'd like to know that there are letters, including friends from Cardiff, who we know so well, Edinburgh, Wimbledon, and so on, sending greetings and good wishes and donations for the work. I also have a sad duty. Some of you may have heard of the passing of Pastor Ralph Isbell. You remember he visited us not so long ago, a few years ago, in this chapel. He spoke to us at one of these meetings, and he has died rather suddenly, and we would like to take this opportunity of sending a message to our friends in America, a message of consolation, of sympathy, and understanding in the sad loss which they have sustained. Mr. Welch tells me that it is too late to put a notice in the November Berean Expositor, but it is hoped to make a suitable reference to him in the January number. We are asking this annual meeting of the Berean Forward Movement to join with the trustees in sending our sympathy to Mrs. Isbell and an assurance that we shall continue to pray and work together with all at Ascotadero who stand together for the witness to the word of truth rightly divided. With your permission, I will write a letter to Mrs. Isbell conveying those thoughts as being your wish today. Well, now we come to the report. I would like to read to you a passage from Ephesians. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You may remember that last year I told you the story of the reopening of this chapel, and I tried to give a word of encouragement as we thought of the message given to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage, and we saw how those words, or very similar words, were used to Paul himself. This year, I would like to add that in addition to the need to be strong and of a good courage, we have to remember that there is an enemy who would draw us away from the work, one who would infiltrate into our very midst, who opposes us from without, and would come, if he could, from within. We have been richly blessed. The work has been extended, but the result is there is a long line to be held. This means that every worker is fully extended, and many carry a heavy burden. Not only is there increased responsibility for those who minister the word, there is equally a strain on those who have to maintain each section of the witness. It is in these stresses and strains, through the intensity of the work, I feel that the enemy could try to infiltrate into our midst, and there is therefore all the more need for support in prayer. It is for this reason that we send joints and bands, and we ask you, as you read joints and bands with each issue of the Berean Expositor, that you will support us with your prayers. We give you details of what is going on, and we hope that you will continually pray for us, that wisdom and grace and strength may be given to each one. The trustees, who are ultimately responsible for the work, realize that provision should be made for the continuance of the work, and they are at this time aware of the need for more helpers, as our chairman has said, to assist and strengthen the hands of those who have to carry the heavy burden of service. Your prayers, therefore, are requested that suitable persons in God's good time may be raised up to give help, if possible now, and to prepare to fill the gaps which are bound to occur with the passing of time. Now this year I propose to spend most of the time, which is devoted to my report, to the tape recording service. It was 8 years ago, in September 1953, that Mr. Leonard Canning proposed that we should buy a Grundig recording machine, which would enable addresses to be recorded and played back. The idea at that time was that from the tapes thus made, gramophone records or discs should be made, and of course these would be played back on gramophones or on a disc jockey. Authority was given by the trustees to Mr. Canning to spend up to £100 in that year on this venture, and in fact, if you look at the accounts for the year 1953, you will find that we spent £90 on a Grundig machine. Then if we go over to the records in February 1955, it seems that the work thus started by Mr. Canning showed signs of growth, and it looked as though it was going to be too much as a spare time job. And I say a spare time job, if you're a mathematician, it's spare time squared, because you see, he was doing the Berean publishing work as a spare time, and this is a spare time was left over when he was not doing the publishing work. It was too big a job for that. And so he asked Mr. Arthur Rumsey if he would take over. So at this trustees' meeting held on the 8th of February 1955, it is recorded that Mr. Canning was thanked by the trustees for the valuable initial work which he did, and Mr. Rumsey also received a message of thanks for his willingness to take over the administration of the tape recording service. After experiments had been made with discs, it was decided to concentrate on tapes. And it's interesting to review how our stocks increased. At the end of 1953, we had a Grundig machine and three playtime recorders and two disc jockeys. We had 44 12-inch discs and we had two 10-inch discs. In addition to these discs, we had 22 used tapes and 13 unused tapes. I'm sure Mr. Rumsey must be laughing there, but anyhow, that's how we started. The flat discs were not developed, but by 1955, the tapes were growing fast. At that time, we have records that photographic charts were prepared to help in listening to the tapes. Thus, in 1956, we had 169 tapes and 397 charts. A year later, in 1957, we had over 200 tapes and over 500 charts. Going back 2 years, in 1954, we began to send tapes to America. And the interest overseas began to grow through, especially, of course, through the work of Colonel von Diesten. You will know from past reports what a wonderful witness is being given by the tape recording service. And I will content myself by illustrating the extent of this work over the years by merely giving you the financial figures. The expenditure on the tape recording service from 1953 to 1960, that's 8 years, was £4,516, 2 shillings and 8 pence. The total receipts in the 8 years was £3,290, no shillings and threepence, giving a net cost to the Brian Ford movement over those years of £1,226, 2 shillings and 5 pence. You will agree that this is money well spent, and we are indeed grateful to Mr. Rumsey for all his enthusiasm and his hard work in maintaining this service. May I add a personal experience? You may remember that in May 1959, we celebrated the Jubilee of the Brian Ford, of the Brian Publishing Trust, the Jubilee, to be precise, of the Brian Expositor, which had started in 1909. So in 1959, Mr. Welch, as the editor, was celebrating the Jubilee of his work. And it was in that meeting, if you remember, that we had so many people that we couldn't get into the chapel, especially at the evening service. After May 1959, Mr. Rumsey kindly arranged for the relaying of this service in the schoolroom. But in the evening service in May 1959, I thought, well, I'd better not tread into the chapel, I'll let the others get in first. And I never got into the chapel. I was out in the street. And the situation was, of course, that I couldn't hear a word, so I caught the 6:35 back to Reading. Well, I'm sorry, but after all, I couldn't do anything outside. When I was in Australia, I was talking to Mr. and Mrs. Collier, and they started pulling my leg about the things that Mr. Welch said about me at the Jubilee address. And I scratched my head. I said, I don't remember this somehow. I don't know why it was, but I can't remember this reference to me. Now, when was this? I said, what, the May meetings? And then the penny dropped. Of course, I'd never heard the address, and therefore I'd never heard the references to myself. So I said, well, if you haven't heard it, you better hear it now. So they put on their tape recorder. This is outside Sydney in Ocean Beach. And they put on this address, the May 1959 address, and I heard Mr. Rogers' address in April of this year, The Other Side of the World. Now, to continue this report, I'm going to read Mr. Rumsey's report that he has handed to me. In opening the brief report on the tape recording service, we would like to say how much we appreciate all the help we have received from those many friends who obviously have this side of the work constantly in mind, and who realize that very often people will listen where they will not read. I think that is true. It isn't everybody who could sit down for an hour and read. We hope that such listening will lead to the reading and study of the Word of God, using any and all help that we can provide towards a better understanding of it under the guidance and enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. We rejoice in the fact that our principal, Mr. Welch, has been spared to us during another year, and we are sincerely thankful for the many fine addresses and expositions which we have been privileged to hear and record for the benefit of others all over the world. The series, The Hope of the Resurrection, was completed earlier this year and was followed by Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. Next came 5 interesting addresses on Nehemiah, followed by another major series on the mysteries, which was completed by the end of July. This year we decided not to start another subject until the August holiday month was over, but we did record a group of 3 or 4 addresses on the Acts and Paul's later ministry. Mr. Welch's Sunday series on Isaiah was completed earlier this year, and the current one is on the former sand words, which will be added to the tape list when completed. We should like to thank Mr. Roland Priddle for recording these, and to wish him and Valerie much joy during their stay in Holland. We hope that they will return again to England, God willing, sometime early in 1963. Our assistant principal has provided us with a short but helpful series on the prophecy of Daniel, for the recording of which we are indebted to Mr. Brian Shearing of Hounslow. But otherwise we have not had the pleasure of any other recordings due to Mr. Allen not taking services at the chapel. We hope to bring together some recordings made partly at Hopeman and partly at Blowfield on the 2nd of Timothy, and to make available his addresses on Philippians given at Preston. Pastor Streets completed his exposition on the Roman epistle early this year and has since added a series of 6 addresses on the Apostle Peter. We have had 4 more addresses this year from Mr. Imberg, making 21 recordings in all, while Pastor Arthur Lamborn of Phoenix, Arizona, has provided a further 13 interesting addresses. During the year, Colonel von Diesten and Mr. Rumsey have revised the numbering of the original tape list, which had become rather out of hand due to several breaks having been made in numbering some of the longer series. A completely new list has been presented in booklet form and a copy sent to every reader of the Berean Expositor. The Babbler readers will also receive a copy with the next issue. The cost has been borne entirely between Colonel von Diesten and 3 other friends of the witness, and your prayers are asked that much blessing may come through the distribution of these booklets, directly as individuals and groups listen to the recordings, and indirectly through, we hope, resulting literature sales. By the way, we much regret to find that some friends had copies in which 2 sheets were transposed while the booklets were being collated. We tender our sincere apologies for any inconvenience caused. There are ample supplies of this new list available, and everyone is asked to take a copy or to pass on to someone who has a tape recorder. More tapes than ever have been lent this year so far, and sales are well up, but there is obviously a limit to the number of people we can contact who are able to purchase tapes, so that we anticipate a drop in sales during 1962 unless an unexpected outlet is found. We have had some really wonderful letters of appreciation of the recordings of all of our speakers, and we solicit your prayers and your help in every possible way for the extension of this side of the ministry during the remainder of this year and throughout 1962, if the Lord shall tarry. Thus ends Mr. Rumsey's report. We thank him and the friends who have paid for the revised list of recordings for all the services rendered. Now, a few words, because I spent most of the time on the tape recording service, but a few words about our principal, Mr. Charles H. Welch. It is impossible to speak of Mr. Welch's work without duplicating what has been reported by Mr. Rumsey, as his ministry and the tape recording service are twins. You might almost say they are identical twins. They can hardly be distinguished. In addition to the subjects covered by the tapes, Mr. Welch has spoken at the Wednesday meetings on the finished work, a series which starts at Genesis and is still proceeding. Topical themes have been covered on Saturdays, and at the young people's meetings, Mr. Welch has spoken on rags or robes and the gospel stations starting at King's Cross. His journeys to Draycott, Birmingham, and to Scotland early in the year have given much joy to the centres, and he plans to visit Manchester, Draycott, West Kirby, and Birmingham in the near future. As my time is limited, I will not say more of Mr. Welch's ministerial work, and of course I have not even mentioned the written ministry. But we are glad that Mr. Welch has been spared to see some welcome results of the stand which he made in those early days. Mr. Allen made his first visit to North Ireland in July, when he received a very cordial welcome. Mr. Raymond Hare, who read the scriptures to us of Port Stewart, is the leader of a small but enthusiastic group, and 70 miles away there's another small group to which Mr. Allen also ministered. Although the weather was not too favourable, the holiday party led by Mr. Allen was a great success. It was attended by 19 young people from Newcastle, Liverpool, Draycott, Isleworth, Long Melford, Brundall in Norfolkshire, and Solhampstead. They covered some hundreds of miles, climbed three mountain peaks, and enjoyed not only the mountain scenery, but morning devotions and evening studies of the Word, when the subjects of the studies were chosen by the young people themselves. We are assured that much spiritual blessing has attended this ministry. Mr. Allen has been to Scotland twice, and he has also visited Preston, West Kirby, and, as we have said, North Ireland. He plans to visit Grantham, Blowfield, Draycott, and Fulwich Hall, Dartford, in the near future. He conducts regular ministry at Canterbury, Eastbourne, Henslow, and Reading, and he has also been to Dockenfield. In addition to these visitations, he deals with the publications work, which includes the Berean Expositor and preparing various books for the printer and checking proofs with the help of several friends. We do appreciate the help of the friends who help with the checking of proofs. He has written a book to be entitled The Unfolding Purpose of God, and it is hoped that this will be ready later in the year. Now, may I just refer to other sections of the work very, very briefly. The signpost work continues under the editorship of Mr. Allen and Miss Harrop. As Mr. Allen has announced, three booklets have been combined and reprinted as one booklet, and although the cost is 2 and 6 each, we are offering this for free distribution. We do hope that you will ask Mr. Canning for as many copies as you can use. At 154 Beckenham Road, the women's meeting is held once a month, and friends travel some distance to attend, which shows that fellowship is appreciated. The library has been used for reference rather than for general reading, and this is a pointer that there is a Berean attitude. Mr. Myers has helped Mr. Reader by numbering many books to enable speedier reference to be made to the library. The Sunday school outing to the docks on August the 12th on a Port of London Authority launch was a happy time for the children. And now at the chapel, I wish to express thanks for two gifts in particular. You will observe that we have been presented with new Bibles and also electric clocks in the chapel here and in the schoolroom. We do appreciate these gifts very much indeed. I cannot refer in detail to the meetings held at the chapel, but I would like to thank those friends who have ministered in the absence of Mr. Welch and Mr. Allen. Those brethren feel the weight of the responsibility of ministry, and they ask for your continued prayers. They record their thanks that grace had been given. Grace has been given to enable them to speak the word with a measure of faithfulness and acceptance. But they do feel the heavy responsibility which is laid on them on these occasions. I have received 6 reports from Scotland, but I'm afraid that time prevents me from quoting these reports, except I will refer to the first conference, which was held this year in Perth in June. The speakers at the Perth conference were Mr. Sutherland of Hopeland and Mr. Stuart Allen, whose ministry was much enjoyed. And now my time is gone, so I will conclude by thanking you and all the helpers once more for the services which have been rendered. We think especially of those whose work is rendered so quietly, those who quietly and unobtrusively work behind the scenes, those who prepare, for example, their meal, their tea today. Yeah, there's no list of people who have been helping, but we would like all those who have helped in any way to realize that we do appreciate all their work. We give thanks for all the blessings received over the year, and we ask you to join with us in prayer that we may know and do the will of the Lord in future days. Thank you.
Well, I'm sure friends would wish me to thank our secretary for that report and all that's gone into the making of it. I can assure you that a great deal has. Isn't it good to realise that in the tape recording we've got a modern invention that's not used for destruction, as so many inventions are, but it is used for constructive purposes, for propagating the precious truth which the Lord has deposited to us. A marvellous thing to think. We can send expositions of the Word of God literally to the ends of the earth. And that's what's happening. And so what a responsibility we've got, that when the seed has been sown, we ask the Lord to give the increase, to give the growth. That's His work and not ours. So we just do that. We sow the seed and we ask Him to prosper it as it pleases Him. Now, there's one thing I forgot to do a little while back, and I must make good that omission. Just recently, I've been to the Scottish Centres, and it's always a very inspiring experience to go around and meet these dear loyal Scottish Christian friends who have stood by the work for so many years, and they charged me to convey their warm Christian regards to you today. So I must do that, and I do it now. And I'm very pleased, too, to see two of our young friends from Cowdenbeath with us this afternoon. Now, shall we sing again to the Lord's praise, hymn number 68. The 68th hymn. Not what I am, O Lord, but what Thou art, that alone can be my soul's true rest. Number 68.
My soul's true.
most of you will know that for some years now it has been a privilege of mine to minister to a group of believers at Hounslow, Middlesex. And I'm very pleased indeed to welcome our speaker from Hounslow, Brian Shering. He and his wife have been coming to that Bible meeting for a number of years. And Brian has been doing an especially fine work behind the scenes with his own Bible class. He has been using our tapes, and he has been ministering to a company of young people with great profit. I'm also very glad to see them with us this afternoon. And so it gives me very great pleasure indeed to introduce to you our friend Brian Shering from Hounslow. I will ask him to now give us his address and pray that the Lord will greatly bless him and strengthen him and bless us as he ministers the word of truth to us.
Would you have your Bibles open at Hebrews 11? Hebrews chapter 11. We like as Christians sometimes to compare the blessings that we could have if we so chose from this world with the blessings that we have because we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. We compare the two together, and we are very thankful, if we're thinking correctly, that the blessings that are in Christ are far better. Far better. But it's not always appreciated by Christians that even within the things of God, God himself describes some of his things as better. Better than others. This afternoon I want to spend a few moments with you thinking along these lines. When we come to think upon these things, we are going to realize that they can be missed. These things are not coincident with salvation, but they are things which can be added. Added if our faith can rise to them. When we come to examine the word better, as used by God in the scriptures, we find that in the New Testament, there are 19 occurrences. And 13 of those 19 occur in the Epistle to the Hebrews. So we're going to spend a little time there, at least. We read, for instance, of Christ being made so much better than the angels. We read of a better hope that is set before those Christians, and of a better covenant that was established upon better promises. We have in this lovely chapter, Hebrews 11, set before us Abraham. Abraham, a real man of God. And if we read our Old Testament scriptures, we read Genesis 13, verse 14, we read that Abraham came to a point in his life where he met God. And God told him to lift up his eyes, to look upon that good land. And if we were left there, then we would know nothing of the extra glory that was revealed to Abraham, because he was told not merely to lift up his eyes, but to lift them up further. And as we read Hebrews 11, we see that his eyes were taken off of that good land and were centered higher, that better country. And so we have him as an example before us today of this truth. In connection with this, in verse 35 of this chapter, we read that women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Not that they might obtain a resurrection, for surely the Christian should have no doubt of that, but that they might obtain a better one, something better. Now these could have missed it, did not accept deliverance that they might obtain. Supposing they had given way, the implication is that they would have lost this better resurrection. It could have been missed. And you and I can miss some of these better things. In Hebrews 11 we have not one, but many set before us, not merely as examples of those who believed in the Lord, but of those who had something about them. They had an overcoming faith. Those who knew something of the truth that later on Paul was going to put in these words, Philippians 2 verse 29. Unto you it is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe, but to suffer for his sake. They were prepared, if necessary, to go through suffering. It's true, I suppose, when we look at the wonderful sacrifice that was made for us, that we have to stand back. We can have no part in the sacrifice that Christ made on our behalf. But when it comes to entering in, to sharing, to having fellowship in his sufferings, then we know, like Paul, that we also can share with him. In Hebrews also we have the Lord Jesus Christ set forth as a great high priest. And we are rather amazed at first when we read that this great high priest, who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities merely because he's been through it all before, he knows what we have been going through, and yet he is set forth in this epistle not as the one who fulfills the type of Aaron, but rather as the one who fulfills the type of Melchizedek. And at first we wonder, and we think, surely it must have been Aaron. But then, when we read on the pages of Scripture about this man Melchizedek, and we read where he comes in, we remember that he met Abraham after that he had returned from the slaughter of the kings. After Abraham had in fact overcome is when Melchizedek comes upon the scene. And so Christ is set forth as the great antitype of this Melchizedek, who is connected with overcoming faith. In Hebrews, we have salvation assumed. The question is not, will you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? But will you believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him? Salvation is assumed, and as it has been so wonderfully summed up in the words of this epistle, there are two courses that are set before us here. You can go on to perfection, or you can draw back to perdition. And the thing about this is that the choice is ours. The choice is ours. Hebrews ministers to that company of people who are to be blessed in the New Jerusalem, the bride. And now we must leave these, because there comes a time in the ministry of Paul where he has to set aside the Jews. Or rather, God, working through him, through his lips, sets them aside. We know only too well the place at Acts 28. Israel rejected, the hope suspended. But just as it seems as though the devil has triumphed, we find Paul coming forth with a glorious revelation, far above all. A revelation which outshines all that has gone before. A new dispensation, in fact. A new administration. And as we read through the words of Scripture, although Paul doesn't actually say in so many words, look, here is the heavenly Jerusalem. Here is the better country. Look at it. Look at its glories. But now, look at this new calling that I've made known. He doesn't actually say it in so many words. But can't you feel, as you read Ephesians and Colossians and those epistles that minister to our calling, can't you feel that he is saying over and over and again, this is better. This is much better. Whilst it may be true to say that the New Jerusalem is a wonderful blessing indeed, when we come to the book of the Revelation, we find that three times there we are told that the New Jerusalem is seen coming down out of the heavens. And it, considering that one of those references is when John is standing himself upon a mountain, presumably upon this earth, it is reasonable, isn't it, to suppose that New Jerusalem may well be the centre of administration of the new earth. But if the New Jerusalem is seen coming down, when we come to this wonderful prison ministry of Paul in which we are so interested here, we realise that this takes our eyes up far above all heavens, where Christ sits, a literal place where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Very soon after having made known the revelation of the mystery, we find that there come upon the scene some who are described as gifts of the ascended Christ, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And part of their ministry is a perfecting ministry, or perhaps better expressed, an adjusting ministry. They were needed to adjust those who had believed in the Lord, who perhaps at one time had held fast to their hope in the heavenly Jerusalem. They needed to have their hope and their thinking adjusted to this new calling. Now, we must not speak of the new calling as a prize, because it quite evidently is of grace. But faith must rise to it. And when we come to think upon this aspect of it, we realise that Paul brings a word before our eyes, the word acknowledgement. And this is an acknowledgement not only with our lips, but with our lives also. And this is where we enter upon that sphere known as the better things. Because even associated with this tremendously high calling, there are quite evidently things that can be missed. We enter upon the sphere of prize. Now, I was rather disappointed when looking up in the concordance the word better to find that it occurs only once in the prison ministry of Paul. And that when Paul is looking forward to that great day when he shall be joined with Christ, when his hope shall be realised, when he says that to be with Christ is far better. Now, I was disappointed, but then it struck me that because the word better is not used, it may be that by implication, by other words, we find here some of the better things that God has spoken of. And indeed, this is so, and it is still possible, even in a calling as high as ours, to miss God's best. There are many parables that have been observed between Hebrews and Philippians. And one of those parables is one of those parallels, is the way that the word race comes into it, the idea of a race. In Hebrews, this race is run, laying aside the weights and the sins which so easily beset us, with respect unto the recompense of the reward. In Philippians, this race is described as being run, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And I was reminded when I read this verse of a verse in Luke's Gospel. Luke, so connected with Paul in much of his ministry, Luke 9, verse 62. And in a context which speaks of follow me, the Lord calling upon people to follow him, and some making excuses, he says this, that whosoever puts his hand to the plough and turns back or looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And so we have the idea of looking on the things that are behind, because it's the same phrase as is used in Philippians, looking on the things that are behind, with the idea not of losing salvation, but of not being fit for the kingdom of God. And in Philippians, the thought is of not being worthy to obtain the prize. It is a great temptation when we first come into contact with Berean truth, when we come into contact with the things that are taught at this chapel, at first we rejoice. But then as we go and we try and pass it on to others, we realise that they don't really want to know. As a matter of fact, they become antagonistic towards this truth. And there is that great temptation to think back and to look back on the things that are behind. Happy days of fellowship, perhaps, which now have been cut off. And so, if we are to go on to this prize, those things have got to be counted loss, so that we might obtain God's best, and above all things, remain faithful in this race. If Hebrews speaks of a better resurrection, we have an equivalent when we come over to the prison ministry of Paul, and in Philippians we read of a resurrection which can be attained to or can be lost. For even the Apostle Paul himself says, if by any means I might attain to this resurrection. And when we read something of the original behind this, we realise that this is a resurrection which leaves others behind. The sort of resurrection that the Lord spoke about, and which his disciples questioned what the rising out from the dead should mean. So we can enter a blessed position by a better or an out resurrection also. If in Hebrews we are told that to look to this better country, it may be that suffering comes along with it. Also, this thought is contained in the prison ministry of Paul and connected with his high calling. For we read in 2 Timothy 3:12 that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But we have before us the encouragement of our blessed Saviour. In Hebrews, he is set before them as the one who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. And in Philippians, in a parallel passage, we read that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now the cross is that aspect of the death of Christ which speaks to us of the added suffering. The Lord Jesus Christ came to give his life a ransom for many. But on that day when Peter stood up and he spoke to his own brethren, he said that the Lord may have been delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, but you have taken him and by wicked hands have crucified and slain him. So the cross speaks of the added insult that the world added to what the Lord was going to do anyway. He came to give his life a ransom for many, but we have this added suffering. And if we would go on to know something of this prize, we would go on to seek to obtain it. We're going to find ourselves not only identified in the death of Christ, but know experimentally what the cross of Christ means also. The very first reference to the cross in Matthew 11:38 prepares us for this. For in that very context we read of the word worthy and the word reward. Whosoever does not take up his cross and follow me, said the Lord, is not worthy of me. And so it sets our thinking. And as we go through and examine other references, we realise that this is what the Lord is teaching here. If we would have the prize, or later on, as it is described in 2 Timothy, the crown, then we must expect to suffer something of what is associated with the cross. And this should be emphasised, because in Philippians 3, verses 18 and 19, we have an example there which we ought not to follow. There are some there that Paul describes as being enemies of the cross of Christ. Now he could have said enemies of the death, or enemies of the shed blood, but he says enemies of the cross of Christ. They were not walking worthy of the vocation wherewith they were called. As a matter of fact, they were drawing back unto perdition. And the very next thing that is said about them is this very word, perdition, although translated destruction. Their end is destruction. They are drawing back, as some in Hebrews indeed may have been, to perdition. Another thing that is said of these who we ought not to follow is that their God is their belly. And I'm taken over to a parallel passage in Hebrews which talks about another example, the example of Esau, who sold his birthright for a morsel of meat. He did not have respect unto the recompense of the reward. He had not set forth an example of one who failed of salvation, but one who failed to obtain a place in the church, at that time the church of the firstborn. He despised his firstborn position, and later on he lost the blessing also. The last thing that is said of these Christians is that they mind earthly things. And this might well be the very things that Paul tells you to forget, to let go of, to not look back upon, and to crave after. And if we come over to finish with a positive reference in Colossians 3, the same word is used here, to set the affections on the things that are above, to set the mind, to mind the things that are above. So we have before us then these two courses that we could take. There is the going on to maturity, to perfection. There is the going on to obtain the well done, thou good and faithful servant. There is the going on to obtain the crown which shall be given to all those that love his appearing. And surely those that love his appearing are going to be those that, when he does appear, are not going to be ashamed of the life that they have lived. Some indeed who were not enemies of the cross of Christ, but who minded the things that are above. And those who are associated with this witness especially should be exhorted to mind these things, because we know that it is very nice while we're here, but we go out and perhaps we are very much alone amongst Christians, and this is the terrible thing. Amongst Christians we are very much alone, and we have to witness faithfully to these wonderful truths and to bring them also, for surely we ought to have the same idea of Paul, to make all men see what is this dispensation of the mystery. So this afternoon, it may be that I've not told you anything that you don't already know, but let this be a word of exhortation. It's one I need myself, and it may be one that you need also. Let us forget the things that are behind, and let us go on. Look into the Lord Jesus Christ, in Hebrews, the author and finisher of our faith. And I feel sure that you'll agree with me when we come to Philippians. And to our high calling, we can say the same of him, the one who sits at the right hand of God. Amen. Amen.
Well, thank you, Brian, very much for that fine message. Or that many more might have those opened eyes, the spirit of unveiling that Ephesians talks about, the spirit of perception that Philippians talks about, that they might be able to weigh up these better things. Try the things that differ so that we can get the things that are more excellent. Yes, the very best things, the highest, the most wonderful things that God has revealed in his word. I couldn't help feeling, as our brother was talking, two verses from Matthew 13 came into my mind, because the Lord, if you remember, was dealing there with the nation of Israel, who to a large extent were turning away. They had blinded eyes. And he said this to the 12, he said, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them." So that was a privilege, wasn't it, that these 12 had? Many prophets in past dispensations had longed to see and to know that truth. Friends, if that was true of the ministry given by the Lord in his earthly lifetime, how much more, with all the fullness, with all the wonder of the revelation that he's given in ascension through the Apostle Paul in his prison. Oh, I believe there we can say with truth that we've got God's best. And having got God's best, what a responsibility. It's a joy, but what a responsibility. Now may he strengthen every one of us so that we may remain absolutely loyal to this most wonderful trust that he's given. So once again, thank you, Brian, very much. Shall we close? Our last hymn of praise this afternoon is number 77. Hymn number 77. How sweet thy name, Lord Jesus, sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. Number 77. One thing without which all our meeting would have been in vain, thine own rich blessing. And we ask you to just to get glory for thyself from this service this afternoon. Be with us in the interval, we pray thee. We thank thee for the food we are about to partake. We ask thee to bless it to the strengthening of our bodies. And then come up again with us, we pray thee tonight, especially strengthen and help thy servant, and grant again we may be filled to overflowing with the things pertaining to the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee then for everything in his name and for his sake. Amen. Mm.
Mm-hmm.